both of you have touched on a subject that is very dear to my heart as well. Since I was a little boy, I have always been trying to figure out how all these dead dinosaurs and how all this decayed plant life could end up being fuel. And I got to tell you, as a kid, now this must have been, I was born in 1950, this must have been when I was about 14 or 15, 64, 65. I was petrified when I would read in my weekly reader, which was this little newsletter we got in the schools in Detroit, I was petrified where it said, we're going to run out of oil one day. It's all over, and we need an alternative fuel. And by that time, 1964, I said, my gosh, by the year 2000, that'll be it. It'll be gone. Yet, it keeps coming and coming. It's like nobody has shut the spigot off. What's going on, Jerome?
Well, George, you're exactly right. You know, I grew up in Cleveland, and in 1946 I was born. Ever since I can remember, we've been running out of oil. And yet today there's more proven reserves of oil than ever in history, 1.2 trillion barrels. And just like you, George, I said it can't come from dinosaurs. I mean, there weren't enough of them. And how did it work? No one ever could prove how it came from dinosaurs.
And how did it get down so deep?
Right. I mean, I had a cat that died. We buried it. Dig it up a year later. There was no oil.
No oil. And it definitely wasn't down there 5,000, 6,000 feet or even further.
Exactly. And as a kid, I remember reading some of the old science things, and the Soviets were finding oil in the 50s, 5, 6,000 meters underneath the earth. And if they could find oil that far down, there weren't any dinosaurs that far down. It had to be from another origin. And that's why we wrote Black Gold Stranglehold around the science that was developed by the Soviets and Thomas Gold, who was really an astrophysicist. I mean, he was in Cornell and wrote a book that was just really revolutionary, arguing, as the Soviets did, that the Earth makes oil on a constant basis from deep within the Earth, and it exudes up through cracks in the Earth. And we're not going to run out. It's a constantly made natural biotic, not biotic, abiotic product. Abiotic has nothing to do with dying old dinosaurs or plants, decaying forests. It's made on a constant basis every day by the Earth.
And by tonight, I think we'll find out just why that is and why the oil industry continues to scare us about the possibility that one day we will run out of this kind of fuel, and what's really going on behind the door to get the prices up. It's just incredible the work that you, Jerome, and Craig did in this work. You know, Craig, I have talked to a lot of people who are beginning to get on this bandwagon. 5, 10 years ago, there weren't a lot of people who would accept this theory of abiotic oil. Now, you can talk to a lot of people, and they're beginning to say, well, maybe this is possible. What's changing their minds?
You know, George, I think it's just the information that's now coming to the forefront. I mean, when Jerome and I were researching the book, it just seemed to be everybody that I was talking to about the research we were finding were saying, gosh, that makes sense to me. I knew that it didn't come from dinosaurs. It didn't make any sense. How could 1.2 trillion barrels, I mean, how many dinosaurs would it take to make 1.2 trillion barrels of oil? They would have eaten all the foliage off the earth. The earth would have been barren. It just didn't make any sense. And of course, Thomas Gold, being an astronomer, knew that the universe was full of hydrocarbons, Halley's Comet, the tail. We knew methane was existent there. There surely weren't any dinosaurs on Halley's Comet. So I think what's happening, George, is more people are starting to put good old-fashioned common sense to it. They're challenging the current logic and theory that's out there, and they're saying to themselves, it's got to be something different than what we've been told because we haven't run out.
And I think when M. King Hubbert put together his peak oil theory years ago, he had no idea that today they'd still be finding more and more oil reserves, right?
Well, that's right. You know, as we wrote about Hubbert and how he put together the peak theory, it was almost like he put it on the back of a napkin, and he drove the data into this curve. It looks like a mountain, you know, a peak curve. It raises up to a a top point, and then it declines like a normal bell curve to nothing. And he forced the data into it, so that when Hubbard had the peak, and he said we're going to run out of oil in the 70s, well, then we found tremendous amounts of oil around the world. So they just revised it.
Yeah.
Because it's almost, George, like inherent in the idea. If oil is fossil fuel, there are only so many dinosaurs, so we have to run out of oil.
Now, if that were the case, if we did get our oil from dead dinosaurs and plants, the theory holds up. Eventually, we're going to use all that.
Exactly,
right?
Exactly.
Sure. I mean, we've got to look at the numbers. In 1980, there were 645 billion barrels of proven reserve. Then by 85, it went to 670 billion. In 1990, a trillion. 1995, it went back down to 999 billion. Now it's over 1.28 trillion barrels.
And they keep finding more, Craig.
Well, it's like the Saudis. The Saudis have thought for years they only had 264 billion barrels of oil, but their own oil minister just revised that number upwards by 200 billion barrels. Rex Tillerson, the president of ExxonMobil, has been publicly seen making statements that there could be as many as 3 trillion to 7 trillion. I have it right here in a press release of barrels of oil out there. So why do we say we're running out?
Why are some regions of the planet more plentiful with oil than others? Case in point, we still have a political problem with Middle Eastern oil. It has changed the complexity of I think, this planet. Why, if the planet makes its own fuel, and I believe it does, why are some regions more loaded with oil than others?
It probably has to do with the fissures, the nature of the subterranean rock, even down to the mantle. I mean, conceivably, it was an area hit by meteorites that was fractured. Mm-hmm. But if oil is made deep within the earth and is seeping up, it's going to seek to come through fissures. And that's what the Soviets found, and likely, if we really studied that in the Middle East, we'd find that the region was uniquely suited to having oil seep up into it.
They were in the right place at the right time.
Exactly, George. And this abiotic theory of oil being deep within the earth would suggest that anywhere we drilled, if we went deep enough into the mantle of the earth, we're going to find oil. And the pools of oil that we're discovering underneath Kazakhstan, one of the stans near Afghanistan, below the Soviet Union, ex-Soviet Union, it's almost like that whole country is sitting on one huge pool of oil deep down within the earth.